you're a guy like me, and I know I am, then you know nothing breeds success like Live from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, But Who's Buying Newsletters official weekly podcast. I am Sam Fells, your host of said newsletter. You can find me on Blue Sky at Fells Gate. We are coming to you still levitating like Dr. Manhattan. I don't think John's actually coming to us from somewhere around northern Manitoba at this point. Such was his jaunt down California nude. We hope he's doing okay and the bears are taking care of him. The literal bears in northern Manitoba. So, of course, we're here in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Wayne Larrabee is a bitch.
It's true. I feel like every time I hear him, I feel like part of my childhood just like didn't count. It didn't matter.
We were lied to.
He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician. He's our technical supervisor, and he's Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, indeed. And last but not least, he's the archivist. He's the goal line assassin. He's the oracle of Humboldt Park. And being marooned in the woods of northern Manitoba will not make his internet connection any worse. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
I am not wearing a Brad Cieslak Buffalo Bills jersey screaming bear down across bars and on Division Street.
But strangely, Slack is.
It's amazing that our generation.
Like I said.
Oh, man. Efforting. Efforting.
Efforting.
I just want to say.
We lost you, John.
Efforting.
Efforting.
Oh, boy. I jinxed
we'll
it.
We will be efforting John all night.
Hopefully Santa brings him a new goddamn computer.
The signal in Manitoba is not what it used to be. So I don't know if you guys had planned to do some hard analysis, some chalkboard stuff, or we were just going to spend 20 minutes screaming.
Can't we
all
do
I
both?
Can say is, all I can say is, John, I was at first I was a little disappointed you did not join my Bears crew for Saturday night's game, but about halfway through I realized it was good for you, it was better for your daughter, because I would have killed you.
We would have killed each other, no doubt.
Yeah, you would not have made it. As Matt knows, I have rare friends these days who drink at my pace. One of my Bears crew apparently is one of them, as I found out the hard way on Saturday night. So it got a little away from us, but it should, because that is a night and a game and a moment we will remember for the rest of our lives, as short as it may be. I have more to add later, but is there any point in analyzing it? Yeah, they didn't play well. We could do this, we could nitpick. They beat the Packers in overtime in December in a game that mattered. And I don't know what else there is.
I'll just add for the kids, I've tried to drink at your pace before and
it doesn't go well.
I've knocked myself out of commission for about 3 weeks.
And your wife makes fun of you.
Yes. Yes. No, it's when you say you're a professional drinker, you are professional in every sense of the word.
Indeed. Until the fourth quarter.
Because you are steady Eddie the entire way. It's like you're not even drinking. And then I'm falling off my chair, not even being able to complete like three or four words together in a row.
Well, you might have noticed a difference in the fourth quarter, but that was drinking plus anger.
Yes.
And rage. And you get some of that. I mean, it's not that we don't watch the games together in a way. We were all texting. We're all talking to each other. And with about 5 minutes to go, our text thread was not a happy place to be.
No.
Andrew had a lot of dark thoughts.
He did. It wasn't as
darker
bad as
than
the first
usual.
Game.
Darker
he
than
didn't,
usual.
It wasn't first drive in. Forget it. Get under the Cleveland Browns. You know, it wasn't that bad, but it was close.
Fortunately, I was sort of detached from that as I was hosting.
You were hosting.
Yes, I was
the best for your mental health.
I was still definitely paying attention, but like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure everyone knows someone that was impacted by the flex to primetime on Saturday. So that, which is why Sam's better half was at my place and nowhere around him during whatever this was.
It's true. It's true. She was better off there. I don't know that this question I'm about to ask is actually being a party pooper, because I am the one who said this season is a party. You know, the context doesn't matter. Everything from here on out is candy. We should just enjoy it. But, you know, you sit here now and you just think, well, geez, why not them?
I mean, it's a single elimination tournament. Like,
there's no monster roaming the countryside here. You know, there's no Chiefs. There's no, I mean, I don't know who the last, you know, it's not the Eagles of last year. You've already beaten them.
Yeah.
Badly.
On the road.
So, you know, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, well, geez, if they, you know, they don't. I'm not saying they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It's a disappointment. I'm just saying the road may never actually...
Everything out west is kind of gnarly, but, you know.
It is, but are they...
You're going to get a look at one of the top teams this weekend. So
right.
You'll see where you stack up there.
So you see where you're at.
Yeah.
I'm just saying the road might not actually ever be this open again.
Well, you just never know with the NFL, but...
But, no, you don't.
This year, specifically, this seems like a very good year to kind of... jump up.
Now, John, you know I say that with great trepidation because last time I said that was 2018. It's like, look, you might as well. You're here now. And that didn't go so well.
No, it didn't. So, yeah, I mean, that's the potential pitfall of thinking that way, and that all it takes is one fluky game and a game where you're kind of spinning your wheels on offense for a little while, and then, you know, it's a doink off of field goal post and you're done.
Yeah.
But here's what I'll say. I'll say everything about this team, about this season, from a Bears fan perspective, feels completely different than anything I've ever experienced in my lifetime. I think there's a lot of, when the Bears are good, there's always this, it's always the familiar feeling of, well, the offense or the defense is fantastic. You're not going to score more than 20 points on them. They may score a touchdown against you. The special teams, you don't want to kick to them because they might put it right back in your giggy. And then the offense, well, you just don't know what you're going to get that day. And if they can kind of just hold it together and maybe put 10 points up, then they'll hold a fighting chance. And that's just not the case this year. With the offense is going to move the ball up and down the field. It's mostly a matter of, will they put points on the board and will they put six up instead of three?
Yeah, I mean, it's what they do in the red zone. It's all that matters at this point.
Mm-hmm. And and when you look at it, and they're powered by a run game. You know, the 2018 team had no run game really to speak of whatsoever, or they certainly didn't have the head coach that was dedicated to the run game. So that's another significant difference between those two teams, is that, you know, whatever Nagy was trying to do at the end of the season, it wasn't working. I think he was trying to be like one of those check down merchant bitch offenses, and it just wasn't working. And he certainly would cast aside his run game the first chance he got. He never stayed dedicated to that, and that's a huge, huge difference between those two teams, in addition to some other ones. So, yeah, I mean, everything about this just feels different. And it's new and it's exciting. I think the other thing that, you know, beating the Packers in that late December game, in a game that they hadn't won in a similar type situation since 1940, I think they said on the broadcast, it's just insane. Insane.
I mean,
and I don't
some
really
of that's
care.
On the Packers now, because those Packers spent a good 20 to 30 years doing nothing.
Right. They took turns being irrelevant. So it's not all one-sided there.
It just feels think, that way.
Right. Well, because it's all recency bias. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm cautiously very getting even more excited than I could possibly be. I don't really care about the first 57 minutes of that game. I think there's another thing to be said for when you vanquish the opponent that's been basically treating you like one of the Three Stooges for 35 years, you know, putting the hand on your forehead while you're flailing about. When you finally beat them like that, it's going to be a difficult thing. I mean, you go look across any sport, any professional league where that sort of thing has happened before. I mean, you look at, like, again, it's different because it's football. It's one game. It doesn't go to a series. So everything kind of makes it feel longer, but like you go to the Red Sox when they were down 0-3, like they had to get to that point before they could make their comeback. The Cubs winning the World Series, it took being down 3-1 before they kind of kicked it into gear. And then even then in game 7, it was a little iffy there. And some back and forth. So there's countless other examples that you could point out, but it's just one of those things that I felt like had to happen. Like it wasn't going to be an easy thing where they just rolled right over them. And, you know, everything was going to be, go the Bears' way. It was going to have to be something like that, where it was going to be some ridiculous comeback or, you know, a series of ridiculous events to kind of turn the tide or at least get them back on kind of even ground. Because this, boy, I tell you, like, you don't really realize how bad it's been. I guess maybe I was being delusional about it.
No, it's been bad. I was thinking about this because, we're men of a certain age. We all are. And you really don't have to be that much younger than we are to think that Saturday night is all you have in this, right? I mean, there's the brief Lovey interlude, but that's only like a couple seasons of sweeping the Packers or splitting with it. I mean, his record was decent, but it wasn't like we ever felt like, oh, the rivalry has turned. You know,
he
like
started off 7-3, right, and then he finished 1-8.
Right. So, you know, I mean, okay, 5 seasons, I guess, is more than I realize, but there's still some splits in there. You know, it's not like what was LaFleur's record for this year? 12-1? Or something like that?
Yeah, and you could also make the argument that last year's win and at the end of the year that didn't matter at all was...
Right. It's like, not even... It's barely
good,
a one.
But it wasn't really anything.
It was fun. We enjoyed it.
It's a good it's a good mark in the right stat column, but it's not much more than that.
If you are in your mid-30s, all you've known is getting your brains beaten in. Like you don't have the distant memory of the 80s and early 90s that we do, where like this was just routine. You know, the Bears would play the Packers and they'd win and that was it, and we'd listen to them cry. Like you don't remember that. You don't have that. And then if you're even younger than that, forget it.
Dare I say, and Matt will of course remember this game, dare I say that this is the equivalent of the Don Majkowski instant replay game.
I mean, it better be.
Turned the tables a bit.
We won't know for a while, but it certainly feels like that, doesn't it?
Well, that was a similar type of thing. I mean, it was the shoe was on the other foot, though. The Packers were kind of about 10, 11 years of just being pummeled by the Bears. Mm-hmm. And that was the game.
The Ditka era never really recovered.
Yep. And again, that was a kind of a lucky thing that went their way, and that kind of changed things, changed the outlooks of both organizations.
Yeah, Majkowski, that was his lone good year too. Like that year, he threw for like fucking 4,000 yards.
I was thinking about, I mean, to say the most satisfying aspect, there's too many to count. But as I quote unquote walked down Western and Montrose on my way home on Saturday,
you floated.
I was thinking that there have been so many games where, and beyond the Bears, I mean, this goes to pretty much every sport, every team I watch. Same for you guys. When it's an important game, your team loses, and you sit there, and you try and tell yourself, and you try and tell fans of the other team that, you know, well, you didn't, you know, you didn't play well, we controlled the game, it was all bounces, you got this, it'll never happen again, it's lucky. But deep down, you know, and it eats at you, and it's like, yeah. One of my favorite things my brother used to say, yeah, but you lost. And that's just, it's been the Bears so many times. And to sit here, and like, I knew what the Packers fans were saying, and they were at the second bar ready to tell me all the things that were caveats. And I could just sit there and say, yeah, but you lost. And there's no comeback from that. It's the ultimate, it's checkmate.
It's so great. They don't know how to deal with this. It's pathetic. Like, they can't get over it. And I've seen days of conspiracy theories, cope, rationalization, the backup excuse. You beat our
not
backups.
That cope, different cope.
Yeah, it's just, it's really sad. Like, we'll win the division anyway. Does anybody think that they'd beat us again? Shit like that. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
But
it's
like,
pathetic.
We've done all that. I've been on that side. And I never thought I'd get to see the view from this side, honestly. There were times when I didn't think we would. So it's just, I guess what I'm saying about the rest of the season after this is that it's just the most fun free hit you're going to get, which is, I guess, what I've been saying all season. Is that, yeah, okay, maybe they lose their first playoff game. And, you know, in the moment, that'll kind of suck. But you'll be like, well, I never thought they'd get a home playoff game and 11, 12, 13 wins is still on the table here.
And an all-time memorable game against the Packers.
A memory we're going to have forever. I mean, the archivist is going to be talking about this game for 30 years from now, assuming you're still alive.
It's the measuring stick for any other Bears game moving forward.
Right. Does it match this TD catch?
Yeah. And I've heard people try to compare it to the 2001 team. Nope, not even close. Not even close to a comeback, because all of that was manufactured BS through the defense.
Shane Matthews.
You had the funny thing about that nobody seems to recall, which I recall quite vividly, is they needed to get to the 35-yard line just so Shane Matthews could get it into the end zone. The Bears got the ball back on the onside kick at midfield. They needed to run like two or three plays to get it within range so that his throw could make it in the end zone.
Could make it there, yeah.
No, he couldn't.
No, he
couldn't make it from like the 40-yard line. They had to run like two to three plays before they could even try for the end zone. So, you know, and then the San Francisco game of the week before that, no, not even close. Try again. You know, that was completely spearheaded by one guy. Well, certainly the two touchdowns, one guy and one guy alone. And it's the most important player in your franchise that did it.
Yeah.
And they've never, ever had that before. And that's part of going back to the Lovey record against Green Bay, 1-8. I mean, that coincides with when Cutler was acquired. And I think part of the reason why I think a major part of the reason why the Cutler era isn't as fondly remembered as it maybe should be is because he was such dog shit against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And predictably dog shit.
And the one game he played well, they lost anyway.
Right.
Last game of the season.
Yeah.
Cover zero. Yeah. Ugh.
And that was the Jahdae Walker touchdown in particular, that was the one for me that was the most, the DJ Moore one was obviously very special, but the Walker throw in particular, because as the ball was snapped, you could see it off the line that somebody was going to be wide open in the back of the end zone just because of the way that the pressure kind of was coming and the way that Green Bay was lined up. The way he floated it, I was like, okay, there's going to be somebody, there's going to be a Bears guy standing there wide open, and he's just going to catch it. And then as the ball kept floating higher and higher and further away, I was getting more nervous as though it was not going to be caught. And then he kind of just, you had that.
I think everybody thought he threw it away.
Yeah, he threw it away on fourth down. That was my first thought.
Everybody thought he threw it away on fourth down, including me.
Right. I mean, especially the way the ball just kept not coming down.
I know. It was the longest fucking throw I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what I thought as soon as he caught it was they're going to miss the extra point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. That was
first thing I thought
there too.
They kicked it like so fast. You didn't really even get a chance to worry about it too long. Which
because Kyron had already hit like three big kicks in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, none of them were easy. And he didn't even really, you know, they had the one that kind of looked like one of my drives, but
you barely had the chance to react because the broadcast basically was convinced he was going to go for two. And so once the kicking team was out and they were talking about something else, you're like, wait, they're not going for two. They're kicking. So, and then they just kicked. So I barely had a chance to sit there and think, oh God, they're going to miss the fucking kick, which was nice. I was distracted.
I guess I never even dawned on me they might go for two. I thought he'd only go for two as the last play of the game.
I'm saying that the broadcast was saying
it. Because that's what they said 2 weeks ago.
Well, on the road, it makes sense. But in this game, I think Ben's reasoning was greater than 50% chance to win in overtime and a less than one to get that 2-point conversion. And I think when you're playing against their second team for the most part, and you've got all the momentum in the world, and you're at home, I don't think you go for the win.
Well, it worked out.
It worked out perfectly.
So, 10-2 for Ben Johnson, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
It's the goddamnedest thing.
It's the goddamnedest thing. There's a reason he was like the it guy.
Hey, how's Detroit doing?
So great. And I got the exact reaction from my Lions fan friend that I was getting. No humor. Excellent. No, yeah, it's going great.
They can't really deal with it when it's coming back to them, can they?
No. You think after 30 years of eating shit, they'd be used to it. No. Two years in the sunshine, and all of a sudden they forgot that. Well, your guy only win 19 for 34. Uh-huh, he's got 11 wins. I don't want to hear it.
And then the most come from behind wins since Peyton Manning in whatever year that was.
Anyway, enjoy Jared Goff pissing down his leg again. Was that the sixth straight week? Oh, but he's an improvement on Matthew Stafford, according to Matt Abatacola.
He is so stupid. Boy, is that fucking dumb. That is so dumb.
It's just, I mean, I don't even know what to think about Sunday. You know, that Niners offense looked pretty spicy last night, but I don't know. I don't know what the Colts are anymore.
Dog shit.
They stink.
I mean, that's certainly what it feels like.
I mean,
they lost 6 of 7. They're not good.
It's not like
all of these Hollywood scripts that were being written for Sandra Bullock to play the garbage Ursay daughter are getting tossed.
Hey, that's my Radiohead buddy you're talking about there. So, do you think if I ever met her and asked her about that, she would admit to it? I doubt it.
No. Her people would usher you. I'd usher you away.
I'd be catapulted.
Yeah, you'd get the DJ Jazzy Jeff treatment.
Yeah, right out of the city. Not that I'd want to be in Indianapolis anyway. Slack, I feel like we've ignored you. John's been pontificating beautifully from his hut in the northern woods.
Sure.
So if you've got more to add, feel free.
No, it's just it was a pretty rough night, I think, for a long part of it, a long portion of it. And then it was the best thing of all time. I genuinely go. I don't post during these games anymore because they're too serious, and I don't feel like making jokes or being the guy who constantly posts everything sucks. I'll do one, but I'm not going to do I'm not going to do them throughout.
It's the definitive game. Everything sucks. It's
When
you hear it from Slack, it's the white smoke.
That's what the group chat's for.
That's what it's for.
And that's what the entire state of Pennsylvania needs to learn and have their phones taken away forcibly by napalm bomb.
Right. And I think the other thing is, like, with football in general, not just this Bears game, every game, we go on and we post about the first 14 points or the first quarter or quarter and a half. And you post these definitive thoughts about the game that has more than half of it left. And as it's become sort of like the NBA, the last 3 to 4 minutes are almost like four games packed into 4 minutes. There's so much that goes on now across the league in those final minutes. It's like the game compresses into all these plays.
It's almost like they designed it that way.
So you saw it on Thursday with Sam Darnold's grave being tap danced on for
three and a half quarters.
We were doing it. Absolutely.
And we will always do it.
And then, that shit happened. So
I'd still take my chances against him in January.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll take my chances against anybody, to be quite honest with you. But I think I'm just happy that the quarterback narrative is just turning faster and faster each week. And you could bemoan, and I would, the lack of points up until the end. But you know, they barely had the ball. And I feel like they beat a really good team, the really good defensive coordinator. Just like they beat a good team, and they did it in a way that is so demoralizing that you couldn't ask for a better outcome. Like, I would have rather had this than them win 40-2 or 40-5 or whatever the shitty score you want to make up.
I don't know. Can we try the 40-5 and then see how that feels?
I think we had this, and I'm saying that in hindsight. I wouldn't want to go through it again. I think from now on,
you might have to go through it.
Blowouts would be appreciated. Well, I really hope not.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because it is now shaping up, and we've talked about this, the way the seeding works, that the Bears are going to get likely one team boomeranging back to them in the playoffs that they've seen in the last 3 weeks. Most likely, I suppose there's a scenario where it could be the Rams, could be the Seahawks who come here, could be the Bears going somewhere. These are possibilities. The only way to rise above this fray would be to win the one seed, and I think that's very much on the table.
Gotta win out.
Gotta win out. By the time the Lions get here, they may be done. You know, Ben's gonna have something special for that one. You know, I don't think it's a must. Not where they are in their arc or process or whatever. But whatever they, you know, if they don't do it, then you just there's gonna be a big Spilkus game the second week of January. Is what I'm saying. Like, it's going to be the Lions for a third time, it's going to be the Packers for a third time, or it's going to be the Niners for a second time. It's the way it's shaping up, at least.
I mean, the division could vary, if given how banged up that team up north is, you know, the division could be over by the time the ball's in the air Sunday night.
It could be. Let's hope. Of course, that would mean Lamar would have to play, right? That's who they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Lamar, but yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Tyler Huntley can be pretty formidable.
Well, can you trust? I mean, you can't trust that team either. You know, I don't. Yeah. So.
I don't know what's going on with them, yo. But yeah,
feels
I mean,
good.
It does. I think, yeah. Sam, I share your Spilkus a little bit about how they're going to catch somebody again. So it's going to be a Spilkus filled second week of January. So that's why I would prefer the number one seed too, if we can.
Just because we might need the break. The four of us might just need a break.
The break. We could also use the hope that they could maybe potentially face somebody else other than those three teams. You know, if Carolina happens to win, if they get the one seed and Carolina wins, and the 2 and 3 team win, then they would get Carolina or Tampa, whichever one of those two.
Here.
Right. And I think you get either of those teams, and I think that's a real comfortable first playoff game to
it's
get.
It's like when they caught Seattle, who were under 500.
Yes.
2010. 2010 season.
Yes. So. Yep. That was it. Yeah, but they got the 7 and 9
season.
We're
getting ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, still a while. John's pretty confident about Sunday night. I am not.
Well, I'm feeling better. I'm glad that they're going into it with relatively low stakes. I think had they lost or had Detroit won on Sunday and they still needed to win and San Francisco still battling for the division, it's just that's a bad place to be at the end of the season in a primetime game if you're wearing a Bears uniform.
Anything good happens out there,
right? And it could be completely different with Ben, but it just the Spilkus of that is just too much. And now at this point, you know, going back to kind of what Andrew was talking about with the NFL games, you know, even if you look at that game last night, it was a 2-possession game, and Indianapolis was driving with about 4 or 5 minutes to go, and in Niners territory, had they put that in the end zone, they would have been only down a score and it would have come down again to the final possession. But of course, old man Rivers throws it away for a pick six going the other way. And that ended it. But it's just wild that all of these games, if you're not up 3 possessions at the 2-minute warning, it's, you got to cinch it up and hunker down all the way through.
Yeah. It feels like and I guess I've been saying this for a while, that how teams play defense in the last 4 minutes, last 2 minutes, just kind of has to be rethought.
Yeah, I've had this. Yeah, I would be curious to know what exactly is happening with like, whether it's offenses that kind of know what the defenses are going to do, and it's just easier to move up and down the field. Like,
they surrender the middle. They surrender the middle because they don't want you getting out of bounds and stopping the clock.
Right. Though. Defenses are like, we're going to let you move the ball. We're going to make sure you take time to do it. And if you score, well, we still got another score in the pocket. And chances are you're not going to recover an onside kick, or you're not going to, we're going to get one first down and burn all your timeouts, and that'll be it. And everyone's okay with giving up the one score when they're up two scores, because that's the cushion you have. Yeah. As long as the clock runs, you still won. Basically, even
I
if
don't
the
know,
score
you
tightens.
Get, yeah, I, but so many teams are bad at it,
right? But it's not working for everybody. Clearly,
yes. Like even Pittsburgh was fortunate to get out of that on Sunday with a win. I mean,
that
Detroit
should have
had,
never been that close ever.
Right, right. Detroit had four chances from inside the 10-yard line. Obviously, they made some self-inflicted wounds to push themselves back further, but they had every opportunity to win that game. And you look at all these teams, like overall records, when like Pittsburgh's was like, I don't know, 503-0 when leading by two scores since like, you know, 1973 or whatever.
Right.
And they were 3 yards away from losing that for the first time. And it was the same thing on the Thursday night game with the Rams. The Rams hadn't lost a game, or had only lost one game in the past, like 700 or whatever, when leading by 16 points or more in the fourth quarter.
Here's what we want to know about the Lions game. Why doesn't the head referee, when he walks over to find out what the flag is about, and they say, well, we've got offensive pass interference, and just go, okay, good, we're done.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. Yeah, but he scored. Doesn't matter. It's offensive pass interference. Play doesn't count. Zeros on the clock. Let's go home. Like, why was there this? What was it you were trying to figure out?
I think maybe they didn't know the rule. I think that maybe they needed to get clarification. Well,
that's not really part of the ref's job, I guess. But I was just sitting there like, well, if there's offensive pass interference, and that's clearly what you're saying, then there's no discussion. What are you discussing?
That's I guess it's kind of a obscure rule that I don't think a lot of people knew, because Campbell didn't know it. And it's very possible that maybe one
didn't
of the referees
know
didn't know that the game ended.
And a defensive penalty. Everyone knows that.
Well, I thought for sure Detroit was going to get another go at it.
Why would they get another go? They committed the penalty. It's so simple.
Yeah.
And his announcement shouldn't have been anything about a touchdown, but it should have been their offensive pass interference. Game's over. You all suck. Go home. Shove your third down signs up your ass. That should have been his announcement.
Kiss my ass. Suck my dick, everyone.
Yeah. Like, the conference was just unfathomable to me. It's like the one time I'll ever agree with Aaron Rodgers, because he's sitting there over there saying the same thing I am. He's like, this game's over. We win. Let's go home. I hate it here. Anyway.
It was a good week. As far as the season, I don't know that it could have gone any better from our perspective.
How
and
could
I think
it?
Andrew said it a few times. You've got the Vikings just wallowing. You've got Detroit now.
And almost once again being faked into thinking JJ might be something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Doing that tease again. I'll tell you what, if it is the Packers a third time, and the Bears beat them in the first round, Packers don't win a playoff game. Bears beat them again.
They fire LaFleur.
They could honestly fool themselves into firing Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. They talked
that would
about
be good
it.
For
I
us
saw
too.
It talked about a lot today. A lot of them think they can just slide Halfley into the head coach job and get LaFleur.
Well, that always
out,
works.
They also had a post where they said, you know, if you take away the last three playoff years, they didn't make the playoffs at all.
Yeah.
Literally saw.
You know, if you take away Mark Mulder and Barry Zito and well, how many good decisions he's made. So if we take away his good decisions, he only has bad decisions.
Yep. It's my point is it's perfect. It's literally they're self-destructing over the most ridiculous comeback on national TV against their most hated rivals. They can't handle it. They can't. They don't know what to do.
Tim Hudson, that was the pitcher I couldn't remember. I'm sorry, Slack.
That's okay. I've read some very funny things over the last
Yeah, time. It's great. All right, well, now I want to get into some not very funny things. We have to pivot to the West Side Hockey Club.
Pivot.
For reasons I can no longer identify. And I just want to do a thought experiment with you guys, because is there anything worth discussing with them when Bedard's hurt?
No.
Even less now that Frank is hurt.
Even less.
Yeah, and he wasn't much to begin with.
So we know that Hawks Reddit is fixated on the San Jose Sharks.
We'll get to them.
We're going to get to them right now.
The Sharks or or Reddit?
Sharks first.
Oh, God, really?
Because I want to do a thought experiment. So we know that once you take Connor Bedard off the roster is terrible. Worst team in the league. Haven't won a game. Don't even have a point, correct? And so I just want to take Macklin Celebrini off the Sharks roster, and you tell me if this team is better than the Shark, or better than what the Hawks are sporting. Sound good?
Yep.
Do it.
All right. Now, he's technically hurt at the moment, but we're going to throw him on there. So you got Will Smith.
Yes.
Colin Graf.
Who?
Igor Chernyshov.
No idea.
He's got 9 goals. You got Eklund, Alex Wenberg, Tyler Toffoli, Ty Dellandrea, Jeff Skinner, Barclay Goodrow. And who is this Cardwell character? Ethan Cardwell.
Isn't Tyler Toffoli like 39 years old?
He's 33, if you can believe it.
That's the same thing.
Oh, hey, now, Adam Gaudette's there. And Jeff Skinner.
He is, yeah.
You're not helping the Sharks' cause by naming all these guys.
Well, I'm just asking you.
Well, Will Smith
is
better than...
I'll get to the defense, because this is where the rubber really hits the road. The defense, Dmitry Orlov, John Klingberg, their Ferraro, Sam Dickinson, Nick Leddy's out here. And,
not impressed.
McClure, help me with this one. Is it Mook Madulin?
Mukhamadulin.
Not going to work here anymore.
Oh, your guy, Vincent Desjardins.
He's out here, too. Does that team sound better than what the Hawks sport?
No.
Not by much. No. Will Smith is better than anything else the Hawks have.
Yes, as a secondary. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
All right. So I'm just curious. It doesn't sound better.
I just saw Matt's post with the Hawks, speaking of lineups, the Hawks lineup and warmups, and Matt responded with the...
In Bruges. Yeah.
Which one?
That's a good one to add to the rotation.
In Bruges, also a Christmas movie.
It is. Which scene from In Bruges did he post?
When Colin Farrell has the gun pointed to his head.
And then Brendan Gleeson is right behind him, also with a gun to his head.
Also pointing the gun at his head.
That's a good one for the archives.
I mean, this is bleak stuff.
It's just the
Toninato thing just makes me so
too many Nattos.
Every game the guy takes a late third period penalty somehow.
Too many Nattos. That's all I have. I mean,
Nattos, too many. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Sharks currently have 5 more points than the Hawks. Play a game more. I guess
What happened to this defense core we were supposed to be excited about? What is this?
Well, Kevin Korchinski is in jail.
Rinzel wasn't ready, as we pretty much predicted.
Yes, we did.
He was going to win the Calder.
Right.
And he was
Kyle Davidson was
going to
tell us he told us so. Have they won a game since that article, by the way?
Nope.
At least Kyle had the foresight to be like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to take that bait. This could go tits up any moment, and it did. I don't know what there is to add. I don't know that we're getting, I don't know that Levshinov is being developed in the right way. I don't know.
They've got every defenseman scared to play with the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no forwards to get it to right now. So just fucking go.
what are you holding on?
Yeah,
to?
Seriously, get some push from the back end.
What are you
end?
Trying to shovel it to? There's nothing there.
Ilya Mikheyev? Come on anyway. Now. You know, got to re-up him.
John's very excited about his America's Favorite segment tonight.
Yeah, I think maybe one of our cretins maybe posted something and now it's getting downvoted.
You
to
just said our cretins don't post there.
Is that pre-show, by the way, Sam? You can't do pre-show on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I get confused. Strike it for
no,
the record.
I don't know. I feel like maybe this is somebody. Well, I don't know. I'm just pontificating because it's somebody that shares our viewpoint with, and the title of the post is "The Kyle Davidson Problem."
Oh, well, I can tell where this is going.
And
if, this could if get this, this is... could get into some race science real quick.
It's a very quick post that he writes here. I can't believe Kyle's plan of hitting on multiple rookies all at once has this team in last place. Let's think for a second, where would Kyle be if he didn't luck into Bedard? He's done the bare minimum to help Connor for 3 years. Hoping and wishing isn't a plan. The Seth Jones trade was a layup. It's time for him to be a GM and not a draft scout. It's getting so tiresome. This is a lost season. Fire Kyle.
Well, he's right, but I don't want to go so far as to say the Seth Jones trade was a layup. I think that was good.
I think maybe that's.
But a lot of real GMs.
Little harsh, but everything else is pretty much spot on.
Let the record show, I've never worked professionally in hockey, and I would have demanded, and I like specifically demanded on air, I believe, Spencer Knight for this. So maybe Kyle is listening. If you are, Kyle, stop being.
Hurry up.
Yeah. Like, quit fucking around now, and bring Korch up, asshole.
So some of the comments here. This is such a strange take. I'm assuming it's satire. They cannot believe that anybody would feel this way about their precious Kyle Davidson. Another
After
comment.
A fifth
some
straight
people
year in the fucking toilet.
Some people should be more embarrassed to share their thoughts.
I agree.
I'm selling spaghetti to go with this meatball. Another day, another.
Okay, but I like that line.
Another day, another meatball doomer take. There's another. Hold on. Let me effort here for a second because there was a good comment that I wanted to read. Okay, this is clearly somebody who just doesn't know anything.
Doesn't know ball.
So yeah, no. Just bear with me. Oh, the kids say they don't know puck, Sam.
Oh,
so
right. I'm sorry.
It's very annoying, but that's just what they say. Okay, so this is from Ari Fuzzface. On the whole, it looks Kyle's been above average so far, but the jury is out until we see this play out. He absolutely does need to get a legit winger for Bedard to play with, but what mistakes has he made otherwise? Well, not getting anybody. would you take Stan Bowman over Davidson right now? Why is it only one of those?
Yeah, that's a rough binary right there. Yeah.
Took 6 years to draft the core that won us 3 cups. I'm as impatient as anyone and enjoyed our start like crazy, but it's a long season. Kyle's following the exact same blueprint, except Taves had Sharpie to play with from the start. That's the kind of trade I want to see this season or in the off season. And then he proceeds to then tell us all the years that members of the cup team were drafted. And one thing that's not labeled here is
by Mike Smith.
Yes, 3 different GMs were part of this group of players that were drafted. It wasn't one person's blueprint that they got to see out through.
It wasn't one plan.
8 years. Yeah.
Also aided so, yeah. by a second sort of fire sale, which I think is the, you know, when Talon went for it in 2005, which people
quote
forget,
unquote went for it.
Quote unquote went for it, and 10 games in just went, did the Joe Bluth, I've made a huge mistake. And had to get rid of everybody, you know, that, so, but whatever.
But Jason Cullimore would make his triumphant return, don't you worry.
I'm not reasoning Jason. With these people. Jason. Yeah, I mean, John, I look forward to America's favorite segment if Frondell does nothing in the World Juniors. Like, I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, no, don't worry.
I'm not saying that's what I'm hoping for. I hope he looks great. I hope he dominates the tournament, but.
Somebody, don't worry, there's a post about Anton Frondell in Rochester, Minnesota tonight, and somebody's asking if anyone's planning to watch. I came up to see him play, and hopefully we can get an autograph and a pic.
He's 18 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That
Benson and Stabler. Cruising Reddit.
All right. Well, I'm not going to let that ruin my Bears buzz.
No, you can't.
By the way, it's specifically right now to everyone. I mean, like, we're literally recording this. Well, I suppose the game's not starting even still for God knows how long. But you are hereby dismissed. You do not have to watch this shit. You, I'm not, I'm, yeah.
And I'm not even watching tonight. So, you know,
yes, you do not have to watch this fucking garbage.
Let me do it. I'll tell you if there's anything that happened and that you need to know about. And I'll tell you right now, there isn't. Doing the Kramer thing. Isn't there more to life? Let me let you in on something.
No,
there
Jerry.
Isn't. All right. Well, it's
time I just wanted to say, Sam, I thought your Bears article was really good.
Oh, thank you.
I think there's
still
just
time
no
to buy a subscription if you're listening to this driving to your relative's house out in the far west suburbs early in the morning in order to drive to an even further suburb afterwards.
There was
He's
no
not
others.
Talking about anyone specific or anything.
That was unlike any experience we've ever had, in my opinion, or at least that I've had as a Chicago sports fan my whole life. I don't recall ever that sort of feeling of jubilation.
And one that's lasting, as I told the boys today, I was at Palina Meat Market this morning buying our Christmas dinner supplies.
What did we go with? Did we go with the ribeye or the tenderloin?
We had to go with the tenderloin because they didn't have any prime ribs under 6 pounds. Which for two people is a bit ambitious.
Yes.
I've got a vacuum sealer, Sam.
I'd still have to make it all at once.
All right.
And that would take all day. But 75% of the crowd and 50% of the staff were in Bears gear. I saw many people saying goodbye to the staff with a go Bears or bear down.
Did anyone just do the straight up Bears?
No, this wasn't the Temple Stowe. There's nothing else like the rare occasions that we've been around for the Bears being good. No other team does this. Chicago is just, it's a different place when the Bears are good and when they have something to play for.
And it's Christmas.
Especially in December. All of that stems from, I can't remember if I've ever actually said, oh, wow, Bears prime time. I'm going to go out for I want to be out for this. I want to watch this with my buddies at a bar and in public. Because even when the Bears have had big games in the past, when they're good, I want to watch it from behind the couch. Waiting for them to score 3 points and fuck up, which they try to do, and they're too good to do. This one, I was like, no, this team is fun. This is good. They have a chance. This might be the moment. I want to make sure I'm out for it if it is. And it was.
Well, John, didn't you find, was that an actual stat or were you just, making shit up with, 98% of their touchdowns are offensive?
Andrew pulled that one out. But, I think the only defensive touchdown I think they've scored this year is the Nashawn Wright one in week one.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Yep. Everything else has been
Tremaine had
offense.
The one called
They're saving
back
them, John.
In Cincinnati. Tremaine had the one. Yeah, Tremaine had the one called back in Cincinnati, and I don't think there was anything else. So, everything else has been manufactured by the offense. I mean, sure, they've had advantageous field position in some of those, but still putting points on the board.
Yes.
Through the offense, yes.
Yeah, he did.
And I think Andrew also efforted the 2018 team, scored 78% of their points were from the offense. So, clearly, again, another major difference between those two teams, although the vibes may feel somewhat similar, but, the vibes and the outlook of the NFC, I should say, because that was another year where kind of things were up for grabs like they are now. Los Angeles was a young and upcoming team, but they were unproven and had lost in the playoffs for 2 or 3 years in a row already at that point. And New Orleans was, that was when they were peak Breeze, win 15 games and lose in the divisional round, which I believe they did. And they're banned. I think they lost in the NFC Championship that year, but either way.
Banned. Well, let's rip through some of the kids' questions before we adjourn for the holiday. Not a golfer. Bears? Bears. Ike, longtime guy. Best present you ever received, best present you ever gave. I think my first red Jeremy Roenick jersey would probably be pretty high on the list of best present I ever got. Well, I gotta say, my current partner's mom bought me these flannel pajama pants a couple years ago, and I get more use out of that than I might have gotten out of every Christmas present ever. Best present I ever gave. I guess I'm such a selfish asshole. I can't remember any of them.
Ever gave.
Ever gave. That is tough.
I got a good one for M this year. I'm pretty excited about
it. I bought
a
partner a trip to New Orleans once. I thought that was pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I got my one of my Bears buddies. I got him a vintage Michigan hockey jersey from my guy Chris, a triple threat.
Another Michigan man going to jail for
another Michigan man. He's from Traverse City. When the one they wore when they played at the Big House. So I got him that. That was pretty good.
I'm glad Matt heard me.
I tried to get Matt a Patrick Sharp Phantoms jersey from the arena in Lehigh Valley. But my girlfriend's sister at the time ruined that plan. So I'm sorry, Matt.
It's all right.
But yeah, I think that's about it that I can remember. I'll think about it. Boys, you go ahead.
I mean, I've been terrible to buy for most of my adult life.
I can see that.
Where I just like, I don't need much. And like, so... I make it extremely difficult on people, so I can't. Well, no, it's like just because anything that like
you're still talking about Christmas.
Yeah. So I'd have to go all the way back to child. I'm sure that there was some sort of video game or something.
I'm trying to remember the video game my brother bought me the same year he bought me Sailing the Seas of Cheese, and all we did on Christmas Day was play that game and listen to Primus.
Eternal Champions for Sega.
It was on Genesis, yeah, because this was like fourth or fifth grade. But NHL 95, maybe? I don't know.
The Genesis was the best present that I ever got. Yeah.
That's, I mean, how do you top that?
You know. Or most memorable, but also because...
John is actually dialed into a Sega Genesis right now. In this podcast.
He's on the Sega Channel. Remember
he's
that?
On the Sega, hey, I had the Sega Channel.
Xbox. What did it's the subscription service before any of the new shit here?
Indeed,
I'd say I'm generally pretty proud of giving white elephant gifts at work. A few years ago, I was scrambling. I forgot about it. So I went to the Target near work and I got a bottle of Svedka and a $5 copy of Goodfellas on DVD. And I called it the Martin Scorsese home game. If you finish the bottle before the movie's over, you win.
Did anyone steal your gift?
Okay, yeah, went around it. I mean, the free booze is always going to get maxed out, stolen for sure.
Slack, you have a.
I'm going to tell you about two gifts that my parents got me when I was a kid on the bad side, and then I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
One year, I must have been 11 or 12. I don't know. And my parents decided to get me the things that I actually needed in real life and wrap them and put them under the tree. So I opened up my first gift, and it was markers. And I opened up the second gift, and it was a jock strap.
That's, I mean, they clearly were doing a bit for themselves.
Yes. Needless to say, it worked. I threw a huge fit. Very embarrassing. They still make fun of me for this to this day.
Did they bring out the real presents after?
What Slack's leaving out is he was 31 at the time.
There were more presents after that made up for it, but I was livid.
Did your brothers catch the ass end of this bit too, or no? Just you?
No, just me. Just me. The other one is back when, you know, I would say in the 90s, high school.
Entirely different era.
Buying DVDs was it's coming back into vogue, by the way. I know, Matt, you're a physical media guy, but we would ask for DVDs all the time. And I asked for Gladiator the year that came out. And my mom bought me the Cuba Gooding's Gladiator on DVD. And
that's kind of awesome.
I was pretty bummed about that, but...
I'm glad you shared that story because my Genesis story is similar. My parents did the same thing. They had me open a bunch of bullshit first, and I had a huge meltdown about it, embarrassed to say it. And I think I was about the same age, 10 or 11. And then they really made me feel bad when they brought out the Genesis. So,
ouch.
I think our parents went to the same school.
I'm surprised George Fells never thought of that.
Yeah,
like I never had to go through that. But for those who don't know, we didn't ever past the age of seven. We didn't have a Christmas tree. We just put the presents on the pool table. It was green, you know. So,
well, to be fair, like your brother was technically of age at that point, being 10 years older. So, like, it, you know.
Did they put lights around the pool table at least?
No.
No.
I mean, it had the pool table lights, you know, hanging above it, but no.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'll rip through a couple here. Surfing Duck, first time crab, maybe? Happy holidays. If you committed murder, let's say it's partially justified, and covered it up perfectly, which fictional detective PI would have the best chance of catching you? I'm going to say Big Gay Perry would get me. Go around the room.
McNulty and Bunk would figure that shit out real quick.
I'll go with Batman.
Is it Batman? John?
You know, the layup is McConaughey, Woody. But
no, maybe you're too weird for even them.
Yeah, maybe the season two where it's Rachel McAdams. I'd like her to catch me.
I bet you would. I don't think you'd like it. I don't think you'd like it if she caught you in real life.
No, Briscoe and Green. I don't think anyone's here is perverse enough for Benson to come after us.
No, Briscoe
or to get get tossed around the interrogation room by Sailor.
Briscoe would let me go because he was friends with my father, so you know, he'd help me cover it up.
But in your episode, though, they'd find a reason for Lenny to shoot some pool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He never needed much of an excuse.
He'd probably go to find your father to get him to narc you out where you were hiding.
One day I will post the picture of my father and Briscoe for everyone. The boys have seen it, so. Michael Rooney, longtime guy. Go-to holiday beverage. I don't really have one. I haven't found a Christmas ale I really like ever since Goose Island stopped doing their original one.
Miller Brewing Products.
I was just gonna say,
I'm not an eggnog guy, I'll tell you that.
I do like
a lot of White Russians.
I do like a bit of nog. I do like putting some Baileys or knockoff whatever. Do not pay full price for Baileys. Just get St. Brendan's or whatever the fuck you can find. But putting Irish cream in French toast Christmas morning, pro tip. Nice. Rather than your half and half or milk in your little batter, pro tip. But I guess technically, 26 years into it, the real ones know King Cobra.
And a second question, and this is a good one. Rank the cathartic demon slaying. Saturday night, Red Wings 2013, Cardinals 2015. I think we probably need a little more perspective on this one, but
it's gonna take a lot to dislodge 2013.
I'm still Cardinals 2015 is still probably top of the list.
Those
are
both playoff games too. I mean, if they play them,
it's different.
The third time.
But football's different too.
Yeah.
If the Bears win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, this one's gonna race up the charts.
You know, my biggest wish is that one day this Packers rivalry feels like the Cardinals rivalry does now.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
I really would love to see it, where it's just like, you know, we beat the shit out of them most of the time, and when they beat us, it really doesn't matter anymore because nobody cares about them. Even their own fans don't care.
Yeah,
because
they're not trying anymore.
Oh God, it's so good.
They only have grievance politics to as a reason to care about that team.
Yeah, it's I want to put this first. I need more. Like Sam said, I need more like stuff to happen from today on forward. But it probably feels like, man. It's not fair, because at the time the Red Wings thing had me nearly throwing up. Like, I mean, it was it was really intense, that Red Wings thing.
Yeah, that was another series that I thought of as an example where things had to hit rock bottom.
They did,
right?
Right.
And also, then, but the Red Wings had a different context, because like the Hawks were clearly a better team. They'd already won a cup.
Right, they'd won a cup, yeah.
On the bottom side.
But they did do the same thing, Sam, where they said that they tried to delegitimize the 2010 cup because the Hawks didn't go through them.
Exactly.
And they were leaving the conference. So this was it. This was like the last chance.
Yeah. So I think we all wanted a championship where they beat the Red Wings.
Yeah. So it's tough.
It was about the same distance in terms of when the last time it flipped, right? So the last time the Hawks beat the Wings in the playoffs was 92. So it had been a long time since the Hawks got the better of them in a playoff series.
Saturday will be in the group. It'll be in the team photo of that if the Bears go on to do other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, both other examples won a title after the moment happened, two, if you're the Hawks. So
anyway, last one I have, our guy Greg Landry is just telling everyone to drink Kona beers.
I've gotten them. Yeah, super.
The Hawaiian one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hawaiian.
Hawaiian. Yeah, it's good stuff.
And that's all I have.
Did you get anything, Andrew?
I forgot to ask, so no.
I forgot.
Well, we're recording earlier, so it's okay, Andrew.
Shout out to Scott Powers for posting the score of the game a full minute and a half before it happens on my TV. Thank you, Scott. Very helpful. I don't know who you're trying to impress by. What is the point of a beat writer doing that? That's so annoying. Just put a timer on and just wait. Isn't that stupid? Whatever. No. I sound like my dad. All right.
It'll happen more and more, Slack.
It really is.
At Pizza Snatcher needs John to read the tea leaves and tell me why to have hope for the Hawks. Or perhaps, better said, when we can have hope again. Moses is clearly lost in the desert.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
There's no tea leaves to look at.
I wish I had tea leaves. I don't.
Tea leaves are burned to the ground.
We talked about it a couple episodes ago with the Bedard and Spencer Knight thing. If Connor hadn't gotten hurt, you would have a better gauge in terms of when this thing might turn. Now that he's hurt again and for an extended period, everything kind of goes out the window because that hot start doesn't mean anything anymore because now you have to see how he comes back from his injury.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't produce like he was, then it's going to feel just bad.
Right.
It's going to feel just as bad as him being hurt.
Right. It's just going to bring more questions. And then it's like, okay, well, they're getting another lottery pick. Okay, great. And then, you know, Kantsarov is coming from the KHL and Frondell is coming from the Swedish League. Do you think that all these guys, you're going to just drop them in the NHL and they're instantly going to be point per game players?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay. It's difficult. I would say, and Sam, I think you wrote about it when the worst thing about Bedard getting hurt is that it just allows a longer runway for Kyle. Now he can say that, well, we have to continue to acquire lottery picks and have them grow together and blah, 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 blah.
And, right. Well, we don't know what we could have done. So this is where we're at.
Yeah, it just is.
Or actually what he will do is like, well, now that we know that Bedard is a true superstar, which we don't, he's done it for 25 games. We don't.
Yeah, he needed to do it for a whole season, 82 games, 120 points or whatever. Then you could turn around and say, this is the guy. And also through that, you were going to be in the hunt. You know, somebody like that on your team is going to keep you hovering around a playoff spot just because of how good they are. And now that he's out, obviously, you know, you got Matt posting in Bruges photos of people killing themselves or being shot in the head. So, yeah, it's not good. You're stuck in the desert. I'm sorry, for a few more seasons.
40 years,
which is fine by most of the fan base. So,
yeah, clearly that's the plan. There's still
what John didn't get into is they're still looking forward to the draft again.
It's just wild. I
it's insane. I can't relate.
You just
at
saw
all.
It with Sam Rinzell. You thought Sam Rinzell was going to be your lockdown top pairing, based on 8 games.
Yeah,
and then in 20 games he couldn't play dead.
You're excited about a guy who won't be ready to play meaningful hockey for this team for 2 years minimum. Cool. I should switch teams. Honestly, I wish I could. Cool. I can't.
I mean, that's and we're. Matt, I don't know how many questions you have here, so we're.
I only got one more.
We're going down a rabbit hole, but that's the importance of why you need an actual team built up as you drop these prospects in. You can't drop them all at once, because then you end up kind of what this situation is. You have Frank Nizar going through a 21 goalless streak, Sam Renzel getting demoted to Rockford, Kevin Korchinski not being able to even sniff a spot. Levshunov is now in the wilderness. This is why you have to have something, some structure, some sort of team buildup. And when I say that, I don't mean Nick Foligno and
he's
Jason
coming
Dickinson.
Back. He's coming yeah. back.
That's not the type of
Isn't
structure
I'm
talking
tonight?
About here. What I'm talking about is yes. you need actual good, productive players, professionals. You know, again, I hate compare. We hate the comparison of the previous team, but that team had Martin Havlat. That he was the team. That was why that team got so good, because he was the team that first year. So everybody else kind of got to grow into their role.
And Robert Lang was he more than useful? And we right. We could do that list, but
yeah,
let's not do that list.
There were so many good, decent, far superior NHL players within that team. Compared to what it's now, it's just complete dog shit, and it's going to continue on until it somehow comes together, and whenever it is, when Kantsarov comes here and then he learns how to play at the NHL, let's say in 300 games
at 5'9",
right? And Frondell is going to take 2.5 seasons to get accustomed to North America before he's ready to go. So it's just an annoying. It's just very, very annoying. And that's why the Bedard injury is so impactful and just a real downer on everything Blackhawks now.
All right, what's the last one? You got one more?
Got just real quick and to the point. Whitey 83. Would like to know when did Howie Long become such a dumb bitch?
I don't watch the pregame shows. Is he a dumb bitch?
In the halftime show, Sam, I don't know if they had the audio on at the bar.
They did not.
He was saying that Artie Bucco's hits were totally dirty and unnecessary.
Yeah. I think people are too young to remember that he played for the fucking Raiders.
Right. Literally body slamming guys after the whistle.
Give me a break.
Or doing what Keyshawn Nixon did to DJ Moore on every play.
Yeah.
Just running full speed at somebody's spine and drilling them, even if they were on the complete opposite side of the field and nothing and no involvement in the play.
Weren't you teammates with Bill Romanowski?
Yeah.
And Lyle Alzado?
Yes, he was. So shut up, bitch.
I guess he has become a dumb bitch then, because I...
Yeah, Strahan basically did call him a dumb bitch on the broadcast.
That's such a baby take.
Strahan, you could... Strahan is... If you... Sam, you don't watch, so I'm explaining it for you, basically.
Yep, thank you.
He is so annoyed to be in that group. He hates everybody there.
Because he's doing all this work because his divorce, that settlement is a nightmare. That is why he just works constantly, why he has like a clothing line at JCPenney's and shit. Like,
is he still hosting Good Morning America?
Yep.
Good for him.
No, he's getting taxation without representation.
That's why Slash is always touring with Guns N' Roses now.
But anything that Bradshaw or Howie or even Gronk says, he's just kind of rolling his eyes. And
well, Bradshaw doesn't even
him.
Know where he is, and neither does Gronk.
No.
But
no.
Again, if Strahan is basically acting like Brody on the game show at the end of Mallrats, everything Gil says, then that might actually be a reason to tune in and watch. Just go, Jesus Christ!
All right.
One more thing I want to add.
Please.
If I hear another whiny Packer fan say, dirty hit, or you injured our quarterback, or you beat our backup, I would say, first of all, your backup was playing better than your starter, which that's a problem you need to figure out.
And go ahead and fire the coach that figure that out, right away.
Yeah, fire the coach who's like, okay, backup's in. We're going to run a whole new offense this team has not prepared for.
And second of all, if... if we actually are the ones who injured your quarterback in the game, that we actually get credit for that. That's actually a positive for us. That's not something to be ashamed of. And I'll have it go back to my high school homecoming game senior year. We broke the quarterback's leg in the first quarter and beat them like 42 to nothing. So it's just, it's a good thing. If you injure the quarterback yourself versus, you know, you didn't come into the game with a guy who couldn't go because of something that happened previously, we get credit for that work. That's all I'm saying.
As Doug Buffone once exclaimed, it's football, mister.
That's right. Keep your head up. Chin up, bitch.
Well, not too far. Or no, yeah, he did. That was his problem. He put his head down. That's
he did.
He got the concussion. Yeah. Yeah.
He ducked into it.
Stupid.
Anyway, all right, that's enough of this. We wish you a very happy and safe holiday. I assume we'll be back next week. It's too important now. These games are vital.
Yeah, we'll try.
We'll see what we can do. But for Slack, for Matt, for John, I am Sam. Thank you for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, subscribe. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Everybody. Top guys out.